Hey.
Prettiest little girl ever I saw.
We got a show.
On the banks of the Arkansas.
So get ready for it.
Her hair was brown and her eyes were green. She's the prettiest little girl ever I'd seen.
Welcome. I get excited when I hear a song. I have much better headphones on this radio show than I do in my real life. So I listen to a song, and I'm like, yeah, I like this. Why does it sound so good? And then think, guess I'll do this shitty fucking show. Boy, have we got a show for you guys today. That whole thing about hipsters and how they failed slash not failed me. I had some run-ins. I saw some films. I have a beginning of my summer list to do here. So, we got a lot of good stuff. See you in a bit. Okay, that's enough, right? We're done. Welcome back. Welcome back. We're going to be trying to do this regular Friday thing again. So, let's see how that works out, huh? I'm thinking not well, but, who the hell knows, right? Anything could happen. Nothing could happen, but anything could also happen. Let's dive right into it, shall we? As we all know, I've been making my complaints about the summer. Why I hate the summer. So far, I have found exactly none people who agree with me on this summer. On the horribility of summer. Everyone says, no, it's great. Let me tell you something. Last night, I went for a jog. 2 nights ago. Okay, it's important that you know the right night. Just like when your aunt is telling you a story. And she says, like, oh, I think we were at Safeway, but maybe it was King Soopers. I don't know. You say, well, does it matter? She says, well, no, it's about seeing a man smoking. Okay, well, just pick one, then. Go ahead and pick one, whatever you feel suits the story, whatever pictures it in your head better. So I'm out for a jog at a park. I'm at a suburban park, running on a path, and the path is just full of insects. And when you're running, it's like they're just hitting you in the face. It's like staring straight up into the sky and cursing the heavens in a pouring rain, like a scene out of 300. Except they're living insects, and they go in your mouth and in your eyes. Okay, this is not something I should be living with in 2014. I don't know what it takes, a dome or a spray that gives me cancer as well. Fine. Whatever it takes, I should not be being I shouldn't feel like I'm on a boat going down the Congo. I should feel like I'm running around a path in a park made for human men. Okay, summer. Sucks. So every year I come up with some things to do over the summer to make the summer not so shitty, right? To improve my things, to give me stuff to look forward to, things where I can be in a bed and then wake up sweaty and say, well, I guess I'll get up and do this. So I have a reason to live. Gotta have a reason to live. That's gonna be my next single. You gotta have a reason! By the way, not sick anymore. Done being sick. Don't even cough anymore. Unless I swallow liquid, which I do all the time. But other than all the time, I am not coughing anymore. So I had my first thing on my list, and I felt very celebratory because I thought, oh, that's a good thing. I don't know if I've done it before. So here we'll debut the announcement of Peter's first thing on his summer list. You know, I remember a lot of summers enjoying the 4th of July. We'd go outside. We'd shoot off fireworks. One time my dad threw a whole thing of fireworks that landed right at my feet, and then he yelled, run. He didn't mean to, but he was extremely drunk. So there you go. This is an interesting thing, perhaps, of how I grew up. I was a boy of a drunk. Being the son of a drunk is like being the son of a non-parent almost in some ways. A lot of parents are, you know, super careful with the fireworks or don't even allow them. But the drunk throws them at his son, realizes that he may injure his son, and just yells, run. At that point, he decides, like, oh, I shouldn't do this. It's very exciting. On that level, I recommend it. Keeps you excited. I'll say that. I was rarely bored. Well, I mean, in those situations. When I had fireworks thrown at me, I was rarely bored. So I think that this summer, I need to light off a firework. Whether it be a bottle rocket or even just a snake. You know, that thing that's a little hockey puck that turns into ash and smells like fucking hell. You know, and if it's a shitty firework, I can just light it off in my apartment. Have you guys ever lit off a firework indoors? I mean, indoors? Once as a kid, I had this pack of ladyfingers. Ladyfingers are these tiny little firecrackers. I mean, they're if you cut a match in half, that's a ladyfinger. And they're loud as shit. And for whatever reason, I just decided I'd up the ante, because ladyfingers aren't that exciting. They're just loud. They go, tss, and that's it. I thought, well, if I light this off inside, in my bedroom, in my boy's bedroom, maybe it'll be more exciting. I was nearly deafened. You know, tss, it goes off. Tss. You know that thing? That is real. I'm here to tell you that is real. So maybe I'll light one off inside or something. Who knows? Make it good. So I'm here to announce the official beginning of my summer list with Pete is going to light off some sort of firework. That was quite a bit longer than I expected. I apologize. But hey, what are you going to do? So there we go. Pete's going to light off a firework. Oh, God. I don't even know where to begin today. There's so many big things that I need to talk about that happened to me and with me. There was a scary mirror. I'll just start with the big one. Because I feel like I got a big one today that needs to be covered. I am going to do my last bashing of hipsters and then come to their aid, their defense. I don't know if they need it or not, but I think they do. Not because they need... Well, we'll get into it. My last bashing of hipsters is this. I had braces like 2 years now, and a whole orthodontic appliance before that. I was kind of hoping, much the way that I feel like the hipster aesthetic brought back glasses... And other old-timey things, or, you know, things from the past, that braces would come back in. That somebody, some bold entrepreneur of style, would say, you know what? I'm getting braces put on. Beat that, motherfucker. And that didn't happen. To my knowledge, it didn't happen. I didn't see anyone in GQ with braces. I've never read a GQ. I'm not even sure what's inside of it. I think cologne. I think it's just a smashed bottle of cologne from what I can tell. That said, I don't think it happened. So I'm upset about that. I have not forgiven or forgotten. Forgotten. Anyway, that's the last bashing of hipsters I want to do. And here's why. I'm pretty tired of people bashing hipsters. because I don't think anyone actually knows what a hipster is. I don't think it's definable anymore. Okay? So when you say, oh, that's a hipster thing. Well, here's the problem I have. I was thinking about this a lot. Okay? So for example, if I went to a bar and was like, I'll just have a PBR. What a fucking hipster. On the other hand, if I go to a bar and I'm like, what kind of craft beers do you have? Also hipster. Now, this one aesthetic seems to encompass an awful lot there. That's pretty much the range, right? PBR to, what's your hoppiest craft beer that's made by a guy? He makes one bottle a year in his own apartment, and he's got a big beard. I'll take that one. These are two very different things, right? I mean, that doesn't really make for an aesthetic, okay? I mean, like, what are the other things that hipsters like, you know? Books. Okay. That's an entire form of media. I had this professor in school who I liked who said that he thought the idea of, you know, they have that TV turn off week or day, or probably now it's like TV turn off hour. At 3 a.m. on Sunday, we don't watch TV in this house once a year at that time. Every April, 3 a.m. Sunday on April 2nd, we do not watch TV unless there's something okay on, something tolerable, or I'm sick, or I just feel like staying up, or I'm drunk. Unless those happen, we don't watch TV in this home. Now, this professor said, well, I think that's stupid. And this was an English professor, and here's why. He said he felt like that was taking an entire medium and saying, oh, this is a dumb medium. It's not really the medium that's dumb, is it? If you disagree with the programming or you don't like television, I guess that's okay. But there's got to be something of value for just about everybody by now on TV, right? You can't really say, it's not like we have three channels and you're like, well, I Love Lucy, an old episode of MASH, or someone selling me the Ab Circle Pro. Those are my three options. Okay, let's not watch any of those. There's a million of options. I had never even seen House until like 4 days ago. I knew sort of what it was just from being in the zeitgeist, but I had never actually seen an episode of House. I had seen it on a TV. I had seen that it exists and knew he had a cane. This is what I'm saying. I mean, that's like a 10-year-old show at this point, the one that I watched. So to like books is kind of similar to say, oh, I like books. Okay, so you like an entire medium. I like anything that's the color red. I mean, it's kind of sad, but how many forms of, you know, entertainment can you really still have? We've got internet, if you want to count that as its own thing. We'll call video a thing, whether that's TV, movies, whatever. Video games, books. What else? I mean, we're already running dry. Board games, I guess. We could just call games, what, you know. So that doesn't do anything. Every band, it seems like there are a million different bands that can be qualified as, this is a hipster band, right? Oh, Death Cab for Cutie, that's a hipster band. Oh, The National, that's a hipster band. Oh, this country band from Memphis, Tennessee. Oh, that's a hipster band. Saw a guy wearing flannel. Okay. Well, if everything is just... This is the problem I have. People are using the word hipster in lieu of using an actual word or actually hurting people's feelings. This is where it's a switch. Okay, some people say, oh, don't call people that. It hurts them. I'm saying, when you call someone a hipster, it's not hurtful because it doesn't mean anything. It really doesn't. I mean, because someone likes... You know, oh, I like movies, bikes, I like music, I like a mustache, I like Instagram. Okay, well, you must be a hipster then. Oh, wow, that's what a horrible thing to have said. What a terrible thing to say. I don't know what hipster is anymore. And every person you ask will give you a different definition. So when someone says like, oh, fucking hipsters are ruining this and that, fuck you. Okay. I don't know. These things just come around, right? These trends. Maybe you look great in aviator sunglasses, and those are in for a few years. Well, enjoy it while it lasts. If right now, if you're a guy who looks good in skinny pants, this is your heyday, I recommend you wear the skinny pants. They're not for me, but if you look great in skinny pants, this is your time, and your time will fade. So embrace it while it lasts, my friends. Just live in the now. I learned a new word, immediacy. Enjoy the immediacy of the situation. I learned a new word. I didn't really learn how to use it. I should figure that out immediately. Here's the thing, too, about hipster fashion. Let's just talk about the fashion. I saw a man, a probably 20-year-old Hispanic man, riding one of those tiny, tiny little motorcycles, those pocket bikes. This is a motorcycle that's the size of a milk crate, right? And he's going 5 miles an hour down the road. This man was clearly using this bike to go somewhere. He wasn't screwing around out in front of a house or going off a ramp or something. He was like in the bike lane going to work or the store or some shit like that. This is a man with no dignity. Okay? That, I could see why. He was not having any fun. That was the problem I had. If you're on a little mini bike screwing around and having a great time, I'm in. I want to do that too. That's all I've ever wanted out of life, is to drive a mini bike around laughing hysterically. He was serious face. He was mean faced. He had gangster mean face on, like he was going to beat somebody up if they were talking shit about him being on a tiny bike. I have a better idea of how to not get shit talked on being a tiny bike. Don't ride a tiny bike. Don't do it. Have some fucking dignity, okay? Have enough dignity to say, okay, well, it'll take me 20 minutes to get to work on this bike. It'll take me an hour if I walk. But if I walk, I arrive a man. If I take this tiny bike, I arrive a boy. I have to walk. There's no other choice but walk. At this point, what am I going to do? I can't. I must walk. So when I see hipster fashion, the one thing I have to say is like, well, at least they're doing something. I don't like it. It's not for me wearing, I don't know, like a vest and a bowler hat or something. But fuck it. At least they're taking some pride in their appearance, for God's sake. Not just looking like shit. I was talking to this lady at work the other day. She's wearing Crocs to work. And I just asked. I wasn't trying to be an asshole. I was just like, how are those? Are they great? Because I think they must be great. The reason being, no one would wear those if they weren't great. Right? They must be really great to wear. Because otherwise, no one wears. It's too embarrassing. I don't know what it is about our brain. Well, I guess we don't like to wear a shoe that looks like it's made out of Nerf and bright blue and has weird Swiss cheese holes in it so everyone can see your disgusting feet. I don't know. Maybe that's got something to do with it. Just mayhaps, baby. But I had to ask because I said they must be great, right? And she's like, they are actually, these are two sizes too big for me because I got them for free from my sister or something. And they're pretty super comfortable. I said, yeah, see, this is why I'm never going to try on Crocs because I fear that they're so comfortable that I will say, well, I'm buying these. Fuck it. Ugg boots, same thing. What if they were the most comfortable shoe of all time? Well, I can't buy them. I can't buy them because then I will wear them. And when I wear them, it's over. My life comes to an end. And then where are we? Hmm? Riddle me that, motherfucker. Anyway, so let's stop. Let's move on. Picking on hipster, saying someone's hipster, that's like the new that's so emo. And that lost all meaning. It's like, oh, he has a pair of black pants. What an emo. Are you wearing a black suit? That's emo. You have a red tie? Emo. Emo, emo, emo. Everything was emo. Everything bad was emo. That's what's happening. Everything bad now is hipster. Just call it bad if you hate it. Just call that thing bad. And let's move on. Let's move on. I'm looking forward to the next group we get to make fun of. And, you know, we all 50% are. Because I'll tell you what, If you like any beer between PBR and the fanciest craft beer, you might be hipster. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Must suck. Must suck to be you. Me? I just drink old sludge from... Oh, my God. Showered at the gym last week. Made that mistake again. Go in there. I don't have a towel. So I'm just holding a white t-shirt over my penis because it's the only dry thing I have that's not a thing I have to wear. So that's what I have to dry off with is a white t-shirt. You guys ever... I've tried to dry off with a t-shirt probably 5 dozen times in my adult life, and I feel like that is a real strong indicator that something's gone wrong for me. Are other adult men doing this? Are you frequently drying off with a t-shirt in any situation? Is there any reason that you would be doing that? Because I was about to say, you know how when you dry off with a t-shirt, and it's kind of almost waxy or something. It doesn't really absorb the water. It just pushes it around your body. And then I thought, you're doing that thing where you start with a, you know, premise that we've all been through. Everyone listening to that is going to go, no, I'm not drying off with white t-shirts. This is, you know how I avoid being in that situation? I use a towel. So I'm bringing this t-shirt. I'm holding it over my penis as I walk across the locker room, butt fully exposed. I just don't care. I guess I could have made a skirt out of paper towels, but that somehow seems sexier. I don't know. To me, it's like, well, what's going on under that brown paper pencil skirt this guy has constructed? So I take a shower. Old man in there, he's got shower shoes on. Smart. The smart thing about shower shoes is that your feet aren't touching the floor. But I feel like your feet are in these flip-flops, and they get all wet, and they just, the water goes on the floor, and then in the flip-flop, how much better off are you? You're not 100 better off, I'll tell you that right now. But I'm thinking, maybe I should have worn shower shoes, which was confirmed when I was showering and looked towards the drain, and it looked like slibs. Like someone had put a lint trap from a dryer, emptied it onto the floor of the shower room, and it just had collected around the drain, just a gray mountain building up next to the drain. What was washing off someone that was gray? I don't know. Maybe they wore their t-shirt instead of using it to dry off. Oh yeah, this is my shower t-shirt. I wear shower shoes and a shower t-shirt, so. It would be nice if the assholes who had fungi and stuff just wore shower shoes and the rest of us could just not worry about it. Wouldn't that be great? I would also like maybe a surgery where I could just get the bottom of my feet severely burned. So they were impenetrable to disease and other things of that ilk. They would just be solid nothing. There's nothing going in and out. I couldn't feel the bottom of my feet, and I think that would be fine. I'm pretty sure that I would be okay with that situation. Anyway, well, my internet broke in record time. I need a new computer, you guys. I'm having problems. I try to do things on this computer, and it's like, I'm not a computer. I'm really more of just a nightlight for the first hour of your going to sleep. So if you're trying to compute with me, you might need to go back to where you got me. I mean, here's a tip for everyone. Don't get your computers at Target in their little computer aisle that has three computers. Acers. Although this one has worked well for up until this year, maybe. Anyway, so I'm out at a store shopping like I like to do, looking around, perusing, got all my bags, my Macy's bags with the, do they have to have every fucking bag at these outdoor malls? It's like a paper bag with a goddamn ribbon handle. Does that really need to be a thing? Can't they have, like a normal kind of bag? Some kind of bag that you just can tolerate to the car. something. So I'm at this store, and they did this thing. I hate this, by the way. Don't ever do this. I'm at this fucking store, and the lady's like, oh, have you ever been here before? And I say, because I want to say yes. But then I start thinking, well, maybe. I don't know. Maybe not. It's hard to say. Because you don't know if they're actually going to help you show you something you need to know, or if they're just going to be like, great, well, here's how we have the store. There's tables with items on it, and you can purchase them. And when you buy them, then you give us money and take them away. Oh, okay. That's great. That sounds great. So the way this lady explains the store, she says, oh, well, here's how it works. Every item you buy in this store is connected to a charity. So when you pick an item, it gives you the charity. It will tell you which charity it's for, who it benefits, what that means, all that shit. And this is, you know, just tchotchkes and things, you know, socks that say Denver on them, things like that. So I go looking around the store thinking, well, I wish they would tell you first, because what if I buy it for some charity? You know, what if this is the White Power charity? Well, I can't buy that. But that's the one I wanted. Can I just not, can I pay less and not have the money part go to the charity part? Is that an option? No? Okay. So I pick out a gift for a friend. And she's ringing him up, and she says, oh, you've got a charity here. I got the card here. It's a wish of a lifetime. She says, do you know what that is? This lady's asking me so many questions. I bought a pair of socks for someone, and she's asking me a million questions of like, oh, do you know what wish of, why would I know what wish of, oh, yeah, of course. I do all my volunteering there, you idiot. She says, wish of a lifetime is kind of like make a wish, which is the one where the dying kids all go to Disneyland. As far as I can tell, every kid's dying wish is to go to Disneyland. Oh, I'm dying? Well, let's go to Disneyland. That'll be fun for four. I'm sure I'll be able to take my mind off my imminent doom at goddamn on a roller coaster. By the way, I gotta believe the thrill of any ride is gone. How could a ride be thrilling? You're gonna die. They could just have a ride be you stand on top of that fucking castle and jump off and smash on the ground. That's just as much of a ride for you. So this is like that for old people. So it's old people get to do their final wish. And they say, oh, okay. That's an interesting charity. I'd like to put this back. like to not be involved with this. So I get the thing, and I look into this. So here's wish of a lifetime. I'm looking at this online. A lot of like going to a World War II memorial, and they probably cry. There's like five of this old bag on a hot air balloon. Let's check this one out. Beverly drives a Mack truck and has a hoot. Wish is granted. The buttons on most computers probably work, right? They do things. Okay, apparently this is on a Spanish channel? On Univision? What's going on? Okay, we're watching this old woman driving a Mack truck, apparently. Well, she honked the horn. Is that it? She's dressed complete crazy fashion, purple with a big red hat. They're driving a semi through like a storage facility, and she looks all right to me. I mean, she's old. She's blowing the horn again while they're talking about it in Spanish. She's waving her arms, flapping around. She cannot stop honking the fucking horn. So her brain is damaged beyond repair. I can see why she's not going to make it. That's it. So she honked. She used her last wish. She's like, oh, my dying wish has always been to honk the horn on a truck. You know, well, way to reach for the star. Jesus Christ, are you kidding me? God, the news anchors on Spanish TV are attractive. So that's how she used her final wish. I mean, that's crazy, right? I was wondering, looking at this, before I saw the videos here, I was thinking, what do they do? What do they possibly do for an old lady? Do they also go to Disneyland? I was thinking, too, maybe they do. Maybe they go to Disneyland. Here's what I would like to do. Okay, I would say, all right, we were kind of on the last ropes here. The end of the long roads. Why don't we do this? We will, we're going to do a Disneyland day. And since you're at the end anyway, maybe, you know, we have an intense day and maybe you make it, maybe you don't. So we take him to Disneyland, feed him a heavy breakfast, lace it with some mushrooms or something. Not like, you know, like MDMA or something, like, you know, good drugs. And then we just send them on these fucking rides, man. And we have this day at Disneyland where we tell the Disneyland guys, like, hey, if this ride is a little more intense than normal, that's all right. Jerks this motherfucker around. I think that would be okay. I think that, cut loose today. Let's push the limits of a human imagination. This is the good day to test out, like, oh, we've always wanted to see what happens if we turn this thing all the way up. I've never turned this dial all the way to fast. It's always been in the middle. There's a turtle on one side and a rabbit on the other. I have it in the middle. Whatever a normal speed of animal is. Dog. A cat. It's got a picture of a cat running across the living room of an apartment. That's all we've ever done. So I don't know. That would be my plan anyway. Finish off these olds. Everything would be great. I had a disturbing situation. I feel like I may have talked about part of this, but I know I never got to the interpretation portion here. Someone at work had a dream about me where we were cuddling. And I was stripped to the waist, at the very least. I don't know the full details, but, you know, one of these laying on the chest cuddling situations. This is not a person I have ever cuddled in any way, so it's pretty strange. So I thought about it, and I was saying, oh, let's look up a dream interpretation. We were looking up someone else's dream, right? And she had a dream about, and a dragon was involved, which is the craziest thing. I've never dreamed about a dragon in my life. I don't think I have enough dragons going on in my background noise of my brain. I don't think I do a lot of dragon stuff or encounter a lot of dragons in any format. So we look up dragon, you know, and it's like, whoa, dragon, this means there's a big opportunity or that you're ready for a big new opportunity and things are great. All right, dragon's pretty awesome. Dragon is good. Dragon means a lot of shit. Look up a couple other things just for fun. So let me look up cuddling. And you know what cuddling says? Cuddling says, oh, if you're cuddling someone in your dream, you have feelings for them. You love them. All this stuff. Cuddling in dreams, according to these bullshit artists, means cuddling. So dragon doesn't mean dragon, but cuddling means cuddling. Why? That makes no sense. Why would one thing be a thing and the other thing's not a thing? It's a thing. It's not its thing, but it's another thing. Okay? Jesus Christ. It was very upsetting to me. Because I said, oh, I was thinking we'd look up cuddling and it would probably say, oh, cuddling represents, you know, professionalism. Something. Represents radio prowess. So whoever you're cuddling, you think is really good at the radio. You'd say, oh, that's awesome. Cuddling someone means you miss a pet that's passed away in the last few years. Okay, that works. No, cuddling means, you wanted to cuddle that person. Oh, perfect. That's perfect. I don't think that's true. I just don't think that's true. I had a dream that I was cuddling Whitney Westerkamp in first grade. And when I went to school that day, I was like, I don't want to cuddle her. I don't like her. I don't find her fun. I don't find her attractive. She's not really that ambitious for a first grader. It's just not true. It just isn't true. So cuddling. Cuddling is cuddling. Let's talk about this. I saw probably the craziest movie that I've ever seen this weekend at a midnight show. It's a movie called Fateful Findings. I recommend watching the trailer. Now, I've seen some bad ones lately. I saw Birdemic, the movie where MS Paint birds attack people. And some birds explode when they hit things, and some vomit acid somehow. I saw The Room, which is great in its own way, although not as entertaining because not as wild as Birdemic, or not nearly as wild as Fateful Findings. Fateful Findings is the story of a man who has about 800 laptops on his desk at all time that he just abuses. They're old Sony Vaio laptops. He's supposed to be a writer, and I guess he feels like that shows that he's a writer. There are so many things I can't explain in this movie because I feel like just telling it into a microphone, it makes no sense. I'm going to do my best. We'll just go through it the way the movie went through it. The movie opens, kids walking around in the woods, and they find a mushroom. This mushroom fades and turns into a little jewelry box. I don't know why. Inside the box is a black cube, which this boy takes out, and there are all these little jewels laying around as well, and the girl says, we better put something back in the box. So she puts some of the jewels in the box and then keeps some. She's like, I'm going to make a bracelet out of this. They leave the woods, and then the girl moves away. Cut to several years in the future. This bizarre man is our hero. He's walking out of this place, his workplace. He's in a suit. The last time he's appropriately dressed for the entire movie. And he gets hit by a car. Pretty good. For some reason, the car appears to be chauffeuring a hooker, which I thought would come back later in the movie. Does not. It's just this lady in high heels with huge cans. It just shows her getting out of the car. And shows her legs. And everyone says, call 911. Yeah. Call 911. The acting, unbelievably bad. He goes to the hospital. He's covered in bandages all over his face. And lo and behold, the doctor, this woman who's got this mysterious jewel bracelet on, it turns out. Oh my God, it's his old girlfriend. So anyway, a bunch of stuff happens. Some of the best parts. So he's got these laptops he's always working on. And he types like, you know, he types like a, I imagine Beethoven plays the piano. Hands above his head to then strike the keys. Mavis Beacon would have a goddamn heart attack. Mavis Beacon would be like, we did not overcome everything with civil rights just so this man could type like this. Oh, hell no. Mavis Beacon, don't play that. He also just, he throws a book at one of these laptops because he's not ready for his powers. Another part, he's going to make out with his girlfriend. So you know how sometimes someone's going to make out with their girlfriend in a movie. They'll just clear everything off the table onto the floor and then make out. I don't know. Do people do that? Is this a thing that happens? Just shove all this shit on the floor? I feel like it's easy to do that in a movie because that's not your real shit. I mean, if my girlfriend just threw my laptop on the floor, well, this laptop would be fine. Because then I'd say, well, I got to get a new laptop. That actually works out great. But I don't know. In movies, it just seems like, oh, yeah, throw my crystal ashtray from my grandma and I've got an electric guitar. Just throw it on the floor. So he sort of does that. But instead of sweeping things off the desk and then passionately making out with her, he sort of picks up a laptop and then drops it on the floor and then picks up another laptop, moves it away from the desk and drops it on the floor, and then they make out on the desk. So it was almost like, hey, remember how we met when I was busting a bunch of fucking laptops? Let's recreate the magic, baby. Just smashing laptops all over the place. There's a bizarre scene where he's eating a bowl of salad in a way that I've never... It's almost like it's the first time he's eaten salad, ever. He's a small handicapped boy who was raised in the woods, and it's his first encounter with salad. Let's see what he does. Spills this whole bowl of spinach, everyone just kind of laughs. There's also, for some reason, his friends have a seven... This is the thing about this movie. Everything is... Yeah, for some reason, this happens. A lot of blood in this movie. They had a big blood budget for some reason. There you go. The neighbor friends, for some reason, had a 17-year-old daughter that kept swimming in their pool topless. Now, here's another thing. Here's a hallmark of weird movies. Clearly, the guy cast himself in the role as this perfect guy. Everyone talks about how awesome he is. They say, like, how he's great and, like, oh, you're the best guy. And then every woman is very, well, they're attractive. I don't know if they're very attractive, but they're attractive, right? It's noticeable. The gulf is noticeable. The gulf is wider than my crack. And at its widest, which is embarrassingly wide. You ever seen a champagne bottle jammed in a man? Wide. That's what I mean to say, is the gulf is wide. You see this guy's butt like five times. As far as the ladies, you see some side boob at one point of these two different ladies. They're laying on their stomach, mashing their boobs into the mattress. Looks pretty comfy. So you see some side boob, and you see this guy's ass like five times. I gotta say, towards the beginning, he's in the hospital after he got smashed by the car. He's walking in his hospital gown, so you see his butt through the open gown. I remember seeing this butt and thinking to myself, you know what? Not as bad as I expected. Not that I expected much or that I had really any expectation of his butt, because it just was kind of there. Not as bad as I expected. I mean, the rest of his body looks horrible. So to have a butt like that, whatever, man. I can get behind that. It was an absolutely incredible film. I will say that. While I'm just telling you the plots of things that are crazy. So by the end of April, I sort of made a friendly bet with my office mate that I would finish a romance novel called License to Love. This book was purchased for me by our library system, because she requested it for me on interlibrary loan, and it was not available, and they said, well, go ahead and buy it. So here's what License to Love is about. Vegas magician Rock Powers. Yes, Rock Powers. And no one mentions this, by the way, in the book. No one says, holy shit, your name is Rock Powers? That's pretty crazy, right? No. And it gets worse. Because he marries his assistant. Now, they've only known each other a short time when they get married. His assistant is named Lonnie Torres. Well, it turns out Lonnie Torres is a pseudonym for a woman who is named Lonnie Silkwater. So just let me clarify real quick. Lonnie Silkwater, fake name, or no, real name. Lonnie Torres, fake name. Makes sense, right? So Rock Powers is a Vegas magician married to Lonnie Torres Silkwater. He does a big illusion, she disappears, and then she actually disappears. He cannot find her. There's an investigation, but no one can prove anything because he's a master illusionist. So eventually, it's been a couple years, Rock Powers is retired from magic because, it's too painful to go back. And of course, no one's done anything, and he gets this mysterious message about, oh, Lonnie Silkwater is still alive, and there's a great line, it says, Rock Powers, in his search, he left no stone unturned, only himself, Rock Powers, upended. This is why after like 3 months of having this book checked out, I've only read 50 pages. Something like that happens. They say something like, Rock Powers, stone unturned, only himself upended. And I just go, okay, I cannot read anymore. That's my limit. So I was stuck there for quite a while. Well, it turns out the Lonnie Silkwater was a CIA agent who had to leave suddenly because she was involved in saving the Hoover Dam. Of course, as we all are. So they meet up in this alley, Rock Powers, Lonnie Silkwater, and her boss, Emmett, who has a pretty normal name, especially considering the other names to follow. And they get attacked by a man from the evil organization known as Riot, R-I-O-T, all caps. Sort of like Cobra, but Riot. It stands for something. Really ignorant orangutan tasks. Something like that. He's shooting at him in an alley, and they're pinned down by his gunfire. But thank God Rock Powers is a Vegas magician. He throws down a smoke bomb, and they escape. What trained assassin could live up to the power of a smoke bomb? How could you fight against that? How would you possibly counter a smoke bomb as an adult man with a gun? It makes no sense. So they escape and they go back to Rock Power's palatial estate, where we've learned the plot of this thing, we'll call it. So here's the plan. Riot has a plan to break into Area 51. Now, Area 51, yeah, the alien place, because why not? Area 51 apparently has no security. There's no fences or real doors or anything. And it is, in fact, a super top secret facility. And they don't put doors on it because then everyone would know it was a top secret facility. Seems okay. Sure, why not? Yeah, what the fuck? That makes as much sense as anything that's happened so far. So, jeez, excuse me. So they say, okay, here's what happens. Every year there's a festival, an alien festival that happens at Area 51. Riot's plan is to have a magician do this trick that makes it seem that an alien invasion is happening. Everyone will panic, they'll go rushing into Area 51, and in the ensuing chaos, Riot will do whatever they have planned from their fearless leader, Archibald Random. If you name your kid Archibald Random, he's probably going to be the leader of an evil organization. Heads up, fuckers. So, it turns out this trick was a trick conceived by none other than Rock Powers, stolen from him by his rival magician who he met in magic school, which it turns out is a thing, in this book at least. And also, the evil magician graduated magic school by stealing one of Rock Powers' tricks, if you could believe that. So this fucking two-timing son of a bitch has been stealing Rock's game, stealing his thunder, stealing his life. Also, there's a secret baby for no reason. And Lonnie Silkwater is saying in her head, oh man, I hope Rock Powers doesn't know I had his baby. I don't know why that matters. But she's saying, he might notice because my measurements are slightly different. My hips are slightly wider, and I think my boobs are saggier. And supposedly he knew her measurements because he had to, you know, get these illusions. So she had like a little box to get in. So it looked like she disappeared. I mean, why not, right? That sure. Of course. It's a very horrible experience I'm having with this book. Because I get 10 pages and then something happens that I say, I cannot go on. I can't continue. I feel wounded almost, physically hurt that something this crazy has happened under my watchful gaze. I don't know if I'm going to be able to finish this book, you guys. I'm going to try. I'll let you know. I'll update you. By the way, this all happened in 50 pages, all these things. Okay? There's an alien invasion magic trick. There's a rival magician. There's a secret baby. There's a disappearance and reappearance of a woman. Vegas, baby. It's unbelievable. So, I don't know. I guess if you want to have a real fucking wild time. And also, they're really bad. They just, like, as far as interpreting each other's feelings, you know, they'll say, like, I can't tell if she loves me or if she doesn't. Oh, you know, normally she crosses her right leg over her left, but this time, left leg over right. Maybe that means she loves me. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe I don't even love her. I don't know. Jesus Christ. I don't know if this is what romances are, where you're like, are you guys going to fuck or not? I don't really care. This is the thing. I don't care if you guys fuck or not. I would just like you to, because I would like to stop discussing it, whether or not it's going to happen. Obviously, it's going to. So the mystery of whether it's going to is gone. So I'd like to just stop talking about it so much. Okay, that's all I have to say about that. Oof, that was some Forrest Gump shit, wasn't it? Sorry. All right, guys. We did it. We got another show for Friday here. Back on the Friday thing. I hope you're enjoying. I hope you're reading stuff that I do over at Lit Reactor. Pete's Unsent Love Letters. Helpful Snowman. We've been trying to be pretty good about that, and we'll try and keep it up. So yeah, keep on keeping on. We'll see you soon. Each second cut through the bone. River keeps rising. Oh dear Lord, save my soul. Wish I get to the other side. Lord, it might be the last time to take you away.